We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
So this morning at the 9:30 service, I wanted to share this with you guys. This morning at the 9:30 service, we had two folks who accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen? And what a blessing. I mean, I was able to talk with the one individual, and I know their family was elated. And then we had another lady come up and spoke to Pastor Chad, and we're so thankful for that news. So listen, here's the thing. If you have a child here tonight and you're dedicating them, and you just feel like, man, they're just going to be so disruptive during this whole thing, and you got to take them out, we understand that. We'll make sure we come and get you. If you need to sit out there in the foyer, we've got the video screen on. You'll be able to listen in, and you'll be able to hear what's happening. Kids don't know they're supposed to be quiet in church. Neither do some adults. That was a great spot for an amen. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your Bible, and I want you to go to two places. Genesis. Genesis chapter 18, and then you can turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Every baby starts off the same way, don't they? Cute, innocent, cuddly. Right? I hope you think that about your child. I hope you're not like, ew, no, right? But how many of you know that as sweet and as innocent and as kind and as gentle as those little babies are, how many of you know that children are sinful? Bad. Amen? How many of you know that no child is perfect? That was kind of weak, okay? Some of you really have a very high opinion of your child right now, all right? How many of you know that no child's perfect? Amen? The Bible says that in every child there's a little problem. That little problem is called foolishness. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And every child is going to have a bend towards sin. Every child, as they grow, we'll be taking note of how things operate in the home into which God has placed this child. And more, parents, listen carefully, more will be caught than taught. Now, if you're a parent here tonight and you have children that are not being dedicated, this message is still for you. But if you have a child that is being dedicated, everybody here is just getting the blessing of hearing this again and being reminded again. And we as a church... just say amen here, right? We as a church want to surround these parents who are bringing their children and dedicating them to the Lord. Amen? Yes. We want you to know that we're in this together. How many of you know we're in it together? Yes. All right, and we need help. And so as a parent, what you have to understand is that more is caught than taught. Actions speak louder than words, and hypocrisy is detected, and inconsistency is noted, and children will learn more about God and form opinions about life from mom and dad in those early developmental stages. Here's what you know. The older they get, the harder it is to teach and train them. Amen? Amen? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know that's true. Okay? It's harder. Just ask a teenager. They have everything figured out. They got it all worked out. If you're a teenager, get out now while you still can, all right? Get out now while you still can. God knows that we need godly parents who will teach, instruct, admonish, correct, and lovingly lead children. God knows that we need faithful moms and dads who will lead their children to do what is right. And the Lord knows that we are capable of fulfilling this responsibility. The question is, are we going to be obedient to do it? And there's a great example in the scripture here in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. God, speaking of Abraham, says, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Notice the phrase, "I know him." I know what he's going to do. I know how he's going to do it. I know when he's going to do it. I know why he's going to do it. Go with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. God commanding the nation of Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Say it with me. "With all your heart, soul, and with all your might." Your strength, your Bible might say. Verse 6. "And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be" where? All right, now, watch this carefully. They're in your heart, but they've got to transcend out of your heart into the home and into the hearts and minds of your children. Notice carefully. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That is basically a description for what? All the time. All the time. You are to be teaching biblical principles to your children all the time, every time. There's going to come a point where you're going to feel like, I can't talk to my children about God. The good news is you can always talk to God about your kids. Okay? You can always talk to God about your kids. Notice in verse 8, you shall bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them above the doorposts of thy house and on the gates. Literally, surround your home with the presence and the importance of biblical teaching. Abraham and Sarah were not perfect parents. Any perfect parents in the building? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not you. It's not you. Okay? Now, I know you're disappointed. All right? I know you're disappointed. How many of you know Abraham and Sarah had some problems? Say amen. But God knew that Abraham was going to do what was right. Did you know that you, parents, listen, parents, you may not be perfect, and the reality is you're not, but just because you're not perfect doesn't mean you still don't have a responsibility to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Don't use this excuse, well, I'm not a perfect parent, I don't get it right every time. We understand that, but the reality is you can't ride that excuse and say, I'm not a perfect parent. God has placed responsibility on us to lead our families. And what's so encouraging is that even though we as imperfect parents are trying to raise our children, the good news is we have a loving, perfect Heavenly Father who has given us all that we need to help us raise our children in a godly manner. Amen. Parents, you have a responsibility of training and leading your children. And so as a reminder tonight to all of the parents who are here, and especially those who are dedicating to young children, I just want to take some time and very quickly run through a few thoughts. And I want to get God's perspective on what it means for parents to raise their children. Number one, I want you to note this tonight. Children are a gift from God. Children are a gift from God. They are. They're a gift. And some of you are like, what a present. Wow. What a great gift that was. All right. Now, Psalm 127:3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Please know that children are a gift from God. Think about this. They are a treasure. They are a trust. There's something that God has said, listen, I want to bless you with this child. And when you look at children, what do you think about? What do you think? Do you see God's gifts? Do you look at those little children and you think, man, 16 more years and they're out of here. Whew, can't wait. Okay? Or do you look at those children? By the way, I hear parents say this all the time. Like, I can't wait until my kids leave home. Like, what, are you not a parent after they leave? You're still a parent. Amen? Just the minute they walk out the door, you're not like, job done, honey. Let's go to Jamaica. No. No. You're still a parent. They still need you. Hey, newsflash. Listen in close. Sometimes they need you more after they leave the home. Okay? But don't you move them back in. But that's another message. All right? Now, say amen. Okay? You got a couple options, okay? As adults, whether we have a lot of children, whether we have one child, whether maybe the Lord didn't see fit to put children in our life, even if you are not a biological parent, you can still be a spiritual parent to children. And we have some wonderful people in our church who are great examples of this, and we thank God for them. A child has a special, unique way of making life memorable and fun. Kids are special, aren't they? They've always been a passion of mine for years of my life. I was so dedicated to children's ministry and reaching children. But I want to give you three quick things that every child needs, all right? So parents, if you can take some notes tonight, I hope this will be a blessing to you. Let me give you three words. They all start with A. Here we go. Here's the first one. Attention. Attention. Now, some of you know this to be true, that some of your children, if you have more than one, it seems like one of your children will need a little more attention than the others, okay? How many of you have that one that needs a little more attention than the others, okay? And maybe you were that child that needed that extra special touch. Now, you know what kind of touch I'm talking about, don't you? Children need undivided attention. Can I just say this? And listen, don't shoot the messenger. They're only young once. Spend as much time as you can with them. Decide now what's important. You can always make money. You can always have a job. You can always do things. You can always go places. But you can only have your children for a short season of time. Don't sacrifice your children on the altar of money, on the altar of fun, on the altar of what you want. They're only little ones, and they need all the attention that you can squeeze into them. Make time for them. Make them a priority. People used to tell me all the time, oh, enjoy these days. They go by quick. They're gone for me and Angela just about. We still have one in the home. He's got one hand on the door. We have one that's going to have a door on an airplane tomorrow morning at 3 o'clock ready to jump out of the airplane. It goes by in a blink. Give them your attention. Number two, give them your affection. Children need to know they're loved. They need loving words, loving deeds. Give them hugs and kisses all the time, even when they're older and don't want it. I dropped my son off at the barracks there in Georgia right after Thanksgiving. I drove him back up. We got out of the car and we stood there and we just embraced each other. Just stood there. You're never too old. Angela used to drop the boys off at Publix before they could drive on their own. And she'd go, bye, Mommy loves you. Mom, stop. Best part of my day when I was... when my kids were younger, is that when I would come home, they would run in the house and jump up into my arms and they'd give me what we used to call in the Addams Home. We called it a squeezer. You guys know what a squeezer is? Squeezer, Dad. I don't really let Nathan jump into my arms anymore. He's kind of big and it hurts. And so, by the way, parents, I just lovingly tell you something. Give them affection now because it's harder to give it to them when they're older. It's not cool. Okay. Number three, affirmation. Reassure them of your love. Again and again and again. Let them know how much you love them. Let them know that they can always come home. Let them know that. Let them know you can always come back. Mom and Dad will always love you. We won't condone your sin, but we will love you through it. We will help you through it. Provide security and protection. Don't provoke them and constantly encourage them. Ultimately, children do belong to God. That's who children belong to. And we as parents and adults would do well to keep this in the forefront of our mind because of this fact, which is number two, children must be guided by God's word. They must be guided by the word of the Lord. This is what God knew Abraham would do for his children. This is perhaps the greatest need in the life of a child. Children have to be taught and they have to be trained in the word. They're not born with the knowledge of the scriptures. Amen? Just like you're not. They're not born with the knowledge of the scriptures. They have to be taught. They have to be shown. They have to be trained. It is their foundation for the future. Give them some spiritual anchor points in their life. It is the parents' responsibility to fulfill this role. Don't blame the church. Don't blame the school. Don't blame the daycare. God gave the children to you to raise and teach, parents. Don't get all upset at your Sunday school teacher if something isn't right. Don't get all irritated at the schoolhouse. Listen, let's talk about your house. Let's talk about your house. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and 3, there was a high priest in the Bible. His name was Eli. He had two boys, Hophni and Phinehas. And the Bible says about these two boys that they knew not the Lord. These boys were raised in the temple. They were raised around spiritual things. And yet they had no personal relationship with the Lord. Parents, please listen carefully tonight, especially those of you that are dedicating your children. I love you enough to tell you some truth right now. Don't make the mistake of thinking that just because your kids are around church and Sunday school and youth group that they will turn out right. You cannot do that. You say, well, how do I prevent that from happening? What are some things that I can do? What are some things that I can get involved in? Let me give you two thoughts. First of all, parents, you must take a proactive role in the life of your child. A proactive role. Don't be a deadbeat dad. Amen? Be an active dad. Be an active mom. You've been given the responsibility. You have a major source of influence in their life. And the younger they are, the greater the source of influence that you can be in their life. Your influence in your child's life is pivotal. You know this about my father. I've shared this with you before, that he was raised in an orphanage. And somebody asked me one time, how is it that your dad raised you never having a father figure? My dad did the only thing he knew to do with me and my brother. He took me everywhere he went. We'd be leaving the house. He'd say, I can remember it like it was yesterday. We'd be leaving the house. I'd be doing my own thing. He'd say, come on, Todd, let's go. I'd say, where are we going? I'm going down to the hardware store. I don't want to go. You don't tell my dad I don't want to go. He'd say, I'm not going to tell you again. Oh, what are we going to do there? We're going to do what I say to do. Oh, okay. And we'd go, and then he'd get me a soda pop, and then he'd say, think what would have happened if you wouldn't have come. I'm like, yeah, this was a good idea, Dad. Right? He took me everywhere. Why? Because he understood one thing. Growing up in an orphanage, he had no influence over his life. And he told me this later on. He said, Todd, I figured the best way that I could influence you was just to be around you as much as I could. Just be around your kids, man. Hang out with them. Be with them. And by the way, take a little note here, okay? Be their parent now. Be their friend later. Your children need parents right now. You can be their friend later, okay? And when you're trying to be a friend to your kid instead of a parent, sends a real mixed signal, all right? And then write this thought down. Place a desire in their life for the things of God. Place a desire in their life for the things of God. The idea taught in Proverbs comes from a custom in the Bible that after a child was born, the midwife would take her finger and dip it in some honey or some syrup and rub it on the roof of a child's mouth, which would encourage the child to begin to suck. That child would then be passed on to the mom, and the child would begin to nurse. It was also a common thing that when children were taken to the synagogue for teaching, that as the little kids would walk into the temple, they would have a little pot of honey, and they would all be given a little wooden stick, and they would take that stick, they would dip it in the honey, and they would chew on that. Listen, that's Sunday School 101 right there, amen? Give them some candy, right? That's biblical principle right there. And on the way out, those who were listening, guess what else they got? They got a second stick. And you know what the concept was? It wasn't bribery. The concept was, let's associate the teaching of God with the sweetness of the word. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Parents, you need to encourage your children about coming to church, about learning the word, making church life learning and fun and exciting. Don't go home and roast the pastor. If you do, I hope you choke. No, I'm just kidding. I've been the topic of many dinner conversations. I know that. But if you go home, if you leave church and all you do is run the church down and pick apart what you didn't like and pick apart the leadership and pick apart and pick apart, you know what you're doing? You're putting a disdain in the hearts of your children for the things of God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Last time I checked, there's no perfect church. Amen? You know what I'm going to love about heaven? No one's ever going to come up to you and go, you know, in my last heaven... Hey, at my last heaven, here's how. There is no last heaven, okay? Let me give you four things really fast. They come right out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Write these down, parents. You can write them right in the margin of your Bible. I hope you'll remember them. Number one, when you teach your children, teach by example. Teach by example. The word of God ought to be in the heart of the teacher. This is what the commandment was from the Lord. He said, hide these words in your heart. Number two, teach with enthusiasm. You know, sometimes parents, we make the Bible so boring and dull. When our kids were little and we would have family devotion, I can remember sometimes I would set the living room up or I would have a Bible story or we would talk about things. And it's so easy to make the Bible mundane and passive. I remember one time my dad was doing a Bible study in the house and my brother and I were still living, you know, with my mom and dad at the time. And my dad sits down and he opens up the Bible and he says these words. He reads the passage of Scripture and he looks at me and my brother and I'm waiting for this awesome thing to come out of his mouth. And he goes, now boys, what was the biblical aspect of the text? And I looked at Troy and he goes, Dad, what's the aspect? And I remember my mom saying, come on, Tom, what in the world, right? Put some enthusiasm behind the things of God. Make it exciting. Teach God's word diligently. Number three, teach by exhortation. Talk about the Word of God. Look for teachable moments. Look for opportunities for you to say, how can I apply the Word of God? Let me help you with this. It took me years to figure this out. Let me share this with you. Start praying that way now. Start praying. When you pray over your children and you say, okay, Lord, I'm praying for them. Help me to find an opportunity where I can take the Word of God and pour it into their life. Give me that moment today. You know what I found? God always answers that prayer. God always answers that prayer. Number four, teach with endurance. How many of you have ever taught your child something, and right after you taught it to them, they turn around and said, I forgot. Can I see your hands? How many of you have ever explained something to your child, and you said, say it back to me, and they say it back, say, okay, and you go back, and you say, what happened? And they go, I don't know. Dad, I don't know. Endurance. Let me ask you guys a question. Has God ever told you something? Say amen. You know where this is going, don't you? And you didn't do what God told you to do, and you're like, okay. You see yourself and your children, don't you? You see yourself and your children. Parents, I want to love you enough to tell you this. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't give up. Stick with it. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. First of all, this verse is not an unconditional promise. It's not a push the right buttons, get the right kids kind of thing. Just because your child is around spiritual things doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to become spiritual. It's not about you raising your kids in church. It's about you raising your kids in Christ Jesus. That's the key. You'll notice that the Bible says train up a child, not teach up a child. Train them. And there is a great difference in teaching and training. And that's why, number three, children need to see godly examples in their parents. Parents, tonight, you are to be that godly example. You are to be the one who is setting the tone in the home. And this generation of children needs to see adults, moms and dads, who are broken and surrendered to the Lord and who have committed their life to Jesus Christ. They need to see this in the home. They need to see a mom and a daddy who are tender to the Word of God. They need to see a mom and a dad who pray and who talk and who share and who work it out and flesh it out and flush it out. And they say, all right, we serve the Lord in this house. Amen? They need to see that. It needs to be real. They need to see a picture of your faith on display every day when it's good and when it's bad. You see, parents, you can teach your children something all day long. You can teach it and teach it and teach it and teach it and teach it. If you're teaching your children how to be kind and they hear you being unkind, you've just done everything you just taught them. If you're teaching them how to speak politely and they hear you being sarcastic, you're undoing everything you're teaching them. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? These are why our teenagers are leaving the church. They're looking at parents and they're like, you guys are a joke, man. Why do I want to go back there? This is crazy. It's not just teaching the truth, it's demonstrating the truth. You, in essence, become a living example of either what to do or what not to do. The Bible says, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In raising children, I want to give you a word. Write it down, parents. Balance is the key. You go too hard one way, you push them away. You're too soft the other, they have no respect for authority. We provoke our children to anger and discouragement when we are inconsistent and when we're hypocritical. We discourage our children when we are negative and we compare them to their other siblings or other kids. Why can't you be more like her? Why can't you be like him? Because they're not. God didn't create them that way. There's only one of them, just like there's only one of you, and thank God for that. Which leads us to this fourth point, which is children must be allowed time to grow. I heard a parent one time say, when are you going to grow up? And the kid looked at him and said, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Yeah, I want to say this, and I don't want to offend anybody, but did you know that children are not little adults? You can say amen to that. Like, oh, they're little adults. They are not. They're kids. They're children. And they're growing. Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor. Three areas with God and man. I don't have time to explain all that. Just let the text rest on your heart. He grew. He grew in wisdom and his knowledge. He grew in his height, his complexion, his stature, who he was, his physical aspects, and favor. His connection, his relationship with people. Parents, I want to encourage you again to remember that your kids are not perfect and they will be kids. Amen? You can't be passive. You can't be permissive. And you can't be dismissive when it comes to their sinful behavior. And you cannot just indulge your child's every desire. I hear people say this, well, I just want my kids to be happy. That's crazy. You will wreck your child. Well, they're not going to be happy. Listen, that's a dangerous mindset. You cannot find that in the scriptures. Oh, did everybody have fun? Listen, there were many nights I would think to myself, I know what's going to happen when I get home. It ain't going to be fun. It's not going to be fun. Oh, you're a fuddy-duddy. No, I just think the Bible's true. And I think that God wants parents who claim to be godly raising children who are more interested in being holy than happy. And if you raise holy children, you know what I have found? You get happy kids. You get happy kids. There are a lot of children today who, like the sons of Eli, they run the home and they run the life of the parents. They have a kid-centered home instead of a Christ-centered home. God's goal in raising a child is to have a Christ-centered home, not a child-centered home. It's a fine balance. The point is simple. And the precept comes from Proverbs 22:6. It says, in the way they should go, a course, a road, a path that is suited for them. Most of you know we have two boys. I'm telling you, God gave us two great boys. But I'm telling you, these boys who are now men, they could not be more polar opposite than each other. And I think God sits upstairs and just cracks up at Todd Adams. He's like, wow, look at that. That's so great. And say, why is that? Because God wants to stretch you in your parenting skills. He wants to grow you and develop you. Your child will have an inclination to certain things. There will be some things that you will try and force upon them that they have no desire. So I'm going to make my kid a baseball player. And he's like into fishing and playing chess. Like, my kid is going to be the next all-star running back, and your kid loves music. Or they like to read, or they're into science. And you're like, well, I have nothing in common with him. No, that's not true at all. You don't want to have anything in common with him. Because their thing isn't your thing, doesn't mean you guys can't find a new thing. See, help them explore. Discover who they are. Look out for their future. They need time to develop and grow in their own relationship. Don't try and live your life through your kids. One of the most discouraging things that ever happened to me is when I was coaching. I coached football. I coached basketball. I coached baseball. I loved it. But there was inevitably a parent on the sideline who was always involved in the, I mean, these are 6, 7, 8-year-olds, and they're yelling at them to do things. And I'm thinking to myself, you couldn't do it when you were in high school. Don't try to make your kid do it now. They're going to mess up. They're going to make mistakes. You can't live vicariously through your kids. Allow Christ in you and in them to discover God's will for their life and help them excel at that. So as I close tonight, the Bible says in Psalm 127:4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Let me give you three things about kids. Number one, children need prepared. They need prepared. One day they're going to leave. Did you know that the minute your children learn to walk, do you know which direction they walk? They walk away from you. They walk away from you. And they need prepared. The years go by quickly. Make the most of the time that you have and teach them well. Don't get impatient. Let your child be a child. Let your kid be a kid. Did you know kids say things sometimes and you're like, I can't believe you said that, right? Kids say things. Prepare them how to talk. Prepare them for the future. Write this down. The days can seem to last forever, but the years go by quickly. The days can seem, you ever wake up and you're going through a day with your kids, there were some days I would come home and I would look at Angela and I was like, they're getting whooped tonight, man. I can just tell it's coming, right? Okay. She's like, I had a horrible day, horrible day. And the days go by quick. Number two, children need pointed. They need pointed. They need to know the truth, be shown the truth, and they need pointed toward Christ. Parents, listen, watch this video. Your children need you. Your children need you.
I'll find myself wanting to please the crowd.
I'll find myself wanting to please the crowd.
I'll need you to remind me that I should obey God.
That I should obey God.
I'll act like I don't have any problems.
I'll need you to show me how to share my struggles with others.
I want to have a lot of money so I can buy what I want.
I'll need you to teach me that my things belong to God.
That my things belong to God.
I'll struggle with my looks and appearance.
I'll need you to remind me that God wonderfully made me.
I'll tend to think about myself before others.
I'll need you to teach me that the last will become first.
The last will become first.
The last will become first.
I'll think I'm a lot smarter than I actually am.
I'll think I'm a lot smarter than I actually am.
I'll need you to show me how to learn from God's wisdom.
I'll want to avoid hard conversations.
I'll want to avoid hard conversations.
I'll need you to show me how to speak the truth.
In love.
In love.
I'll look for happiness in many different places.
I'll need you to show me that joy is
found in following Christ.
I'll find myself stuck in bad habits.
I'll need you to show me the way out.
I'll need you to show me the way out.
I'll need you.
I'll need you.
I'll need you.
I'll need you.
To point me toward Christ when no one else will.
To point me toward Christ when no one else will.
Right out of the mouth of a child. Children need pointed. They need their parents. They need you. Number three, write this down. Children need propelled. Children need propelled. Nobody tells you how to release the bow as a parent. There's a moment that every hunter or every person who uses a bow knows that when they get the arrow ready and they pull it back, there's a moment where when they found the target, they have to let it go. And that's one of the most difficult things to do as a parent, but that day is coming. And the hardest thing is to let them go. In just a few minutes, there's going to be parents who are going to be dedicating their children to God, and they are, in essence, giving their children back to the Lord. And they're saying, Lord, we only have these children in our bow for a little while. And ultimately, Lord, they belong to you. We want them to hit the mark, and we want you to help us, and we need the church to support us.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.